I said, for me, that we must understand what is a tool, and we must understand what is bling. Then somebody answered that, no, sometimes some things can be tools also. I said, what do you mean? That somebody said, an actress in Nigerian movie industry said that she has to wear the latest clothing, you know, the hottest fashion, the bigger names in fashion, that her market, her manager says it's part of packing up her profile so that she can get, you understand my point? I said, yes. You know, it makes sense, so I have to do it and all of that. I said, number one, go and ask Denzel Washington whether he does it. I said, number two, ask, I mentioned that, Samuel L. Jackson. Samuel Jackson is on record as earned the biggest amount of money in the movie industry. I said, go and ask him whether he does that. I said, one day I saw Tom Cruise being interviewed on the red carpet. What are you wearing? He said, I'm wearing clothes. He said, I'm wearing what? Clothes. Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible. They said, okay, made by who? He said, I don't know. I bought it in a shop. Yes, that's what Tom Cruise said. And listen, the day I watched a program on the life of Julia Roberts, by the time she had hit it big, they showed her pictures. My wife dresses like that, will have problems. Not for indecency, shabby. It's like just tie a wrapper like this, not balance or edge. Assuming that Nigerian. I said, what? That they had to talk to her to finally link her with Armani. And the first day she came out in Armani, even me had to respect. I said, no wonder this man is so famous. I said, this old man is good. That's Giorgio Armani, you know? But I said, look, listen, go and check out Julia Roberts. She didn't make it like that. I said, your friend is a beggar. Go and tell her I said so. Begging for roles. I said, Edco said, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. That when you are empty inside, you have to paint over very well. I said, this is where I'm going to. I said, this is what we call worldliness. Your movie manager that tells you that you have to dress like this, I said, it's obvious he doesn't market people of value. Does not market people of substance. Not managing people that have value. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something. That's what Christianity is. We align how we think. And what the devil is trying to do is to pull us away from the proper thinking process. Christianity is for us to, that is, if the world says, but you know, I'm making a joke again in my office today. There was a lady that was there, one of my colleagues. They said, okay, they were going to get us, we're doing the exams, okay, go and get refreshments for people. I was telling my secretary. All right, so we're sending somebody. They're going to get some things for us. What would you like? Would you like a drink? He said, no, I'll like water. And I said, this is going to make you laugh. I said, is it because of sugar? I said, because right now I'm on riot. May I drink sugar deliberately? Now, if I wanted water, I'll just drink the Coke. Why? Just to prove to these WHO people that they don't know anything. I don't know why some of you understand what I'm going to say there. I'm just interested and I just vex. And I said, no, it's not because of that. I said, okay, good. I didn't mind water. I actually used to like water. But in recent weeks, I'm on a kind of protest march. So they said that, no, don't drink. Yes, sugar is not good for you. That's it. You killed it. I will reach for it. In fact, if I can concentrate the Fanta double, I will drink one large glass and look at you. Uh-huh. If you talk again, I'll chew a cube of sugar. When I'm leaving my house, sometimes this day, I look at Opera Square. And everybody going around jogging. I don't want to jog again. I'm going to sleep some more. That's just protest. You know my reason? I said, if I want to jog, I like to be fit. You know, one of the things I like is to be able to, from ground floor, run up to this level without breaking my stride. I like, you know, it feels good. You know, there's a feeling you get like, yo, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I feel good, you know? But say, okay, go and jog so that you live long. That's it. I'm going to live long and I will not jog. Neither fear ye, their fear. Did you hear Abraham jogged? Nonsense. You know, if you, I have my reason for talking like this. Don't be angry with me. You know, this is my job. Those of you know me well enough. I'm a specialist, you understand? And I've seen confusion in medical field. Tomorrow you drink sugar, it's good, makes you hear. Tomorrow you drink it, you will die. One day, one of our brothers here sent me a message and showed that in the last, for a number of years, that 75% of medical advice, they radically change it every 5 years. Today, look this way when you are walking. Tomorrow, if you look like that, you will die. You know, those kinds of things. So now I have taken the Bible, I read it. If you say, for long life jog, I would carry chair and sit down. I say, with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Long life is a product of a right relationship with God. Neither fear ye their fears. That's what I'm trying to explain, no? I'm trying to explain. If the world gives me a particular set of standards, I look at it. He said, when they say to you, let us go this way, he said, bind up the testimony. Seal the law amongst my disciples. Remember, he said, when they said, let us consult the mediums and the priests and those who want, I said, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. What I do is seek the law of God, the word of God concerning any situation. That's what Christianity is. That my viewpoint about life is framed by the precepts of God. Yes, that's a good word. The precepts, the principles of God. I told that whole story at the beginning because when he said that, you belong. I said, no, I refuse to belong. I don't want to belong. I am complete in him. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, in Christ, I'm good. I'm just summarizing it like that. In Christ, I'm good. I'm not trying to impress you. The only thing that I will, in quotes now, impress in quotes. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm not trying to give you a feeling about myself, all right? I'm trying to say that I want you to hear my voice. You know, something is ignited in you. The only thing for me as an individual is a gift of God in my life. That's a teaching anointing. I have to fine tune. So anytime you hear it, you are happy. That's it. That's the only reputation I want in life. That if you are confused, click on kwm.com.ng, download 2 messages, your life goes straight. Do you get my point? It's very important. The world is not going to set the standards by which I will live. Tell me when to marry, when to build a house. Tell me I'm nothing if I don't have this, I don't have that. If you tell me I'm nothing if I don't have something, that thing if I had it before, I go and lock it up. That's a lot of time when I go to speak with young people. You know, I try to emphasize these things to them because the world has a way of just scattering things for people by wrong standards. I told them once I went to preach somewhere. You know, the Holy Spirit wanted to shock that girl that day. She didn't know I would see her. I was telling a story of how I got engaged and that I went to market and bought my wife a ring. Engagement ring. Was it 250 or 300 naira? Can't remember. Can you remember the price? 300. Anyway, in fact, somebody says it's even 150. It was something around that, Sha. Yeah, my naira had more value that time. Yes, that was the same transport money between Lagos and Benin, something like that. I said, I gave it to my wife and she wore it. She wore it. Amen?
Amen.
She wore it till we got married and wore it after we got married. I didn't even know she didn't know it was 300 naira, even though she knew it was cheap. But even if I had come with gold, she would have been worried. Where did you get it from? So, what? You went and bought gold. Where did you get the money? Of course, one girl was there and said, I won't take it. I said, you see how the world, the Satan! Confused the young woman. Holy Spirit just said, look, that's her there. My eye just boom, big hole. Plenty of people. My eye just caught her straight. Bam! And she was telling her friends, I won't take it. I said, yes, that's it. All the peace that comes with it, he also will not take. All the joy that comes with it, he also will not take. All the prosperity that comes with it, he also will not take. What is the ring? What is the ring that? What is, if I want to buy a ring, is the ring a problem? Yesterday, out of vexation, not, you know, I wasn't feeling sad, I wasn't feeling happy, I just wanted to make a point. I went and bought 2 rings for 50,000 naira. Take, madam, wear. Just wear it, so that it'll be, I bought it for you. You know something, let me just do it, so I can just say I can do it. The point I'm just making is this, alright? The world, let's get back to the main message. The world, you know, they set standards for people, tell people walk like this. This is how it is. And listen, that is how Satan grabs people. That's what I'm going to explain. That is how Satan grabs people. When I finish the series on Christ that was started on Saturday, the next thing I want to do again is that being led by the Spirit. I want to explain to people again that being led by the Spirit does not mean, my daughter, let me just tell you, that guy as he comes today, don't marry him. Don't marry him. And my son, there is a job that is coming. You shall take it. You shall take it. The Holy Spirit does that once in a while. Do you hear what I said? But not often. The more he does it to you, the less experience you have about life. The more you know, the less he talks. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, when the Bible says being led by the Spirit, I wanted to emphasize, it means that the standards, the set of standards you are using are spiritual. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that Holy Spirit comes and says, oh boy, don't wake. Yes. Let me tell you what you will do today. This morning you shall bathe. All right? And so people now come to you and say, as I woke up this morning, the Lord said to me that you should have a bath so that you won't go out smelling. Praise God. And then as I finished having the bath, suddenly my Holy Spirit said, oh, my son, which one are you using? Are you using Close Up, McLean's, or Colgate? And the fellow comes and he's feeling very spiritual. So I don't brush unless the Holy Spirit tells me. I don't brush if the Holy Spirit doesn't say so. You just said the brother, say, apparently your parents didn't teach you anything when you were young. That's all. So if your father didn't teach you to brush, Holy Spirit will teach you. But please, don't feel very spiritual. What I want them to emphasize, when we say we are being led by the Spirit, it means I'm so eager to get back to that teaching. It's so crucial. I feel a strong urge about it to explain to people. When we say we are being led by the Spirit, what we mean, what the Bible means, what Paul was saying in that Romans chapter 8, is that we have renounced the way of the peoples. Do you get my point? And our standards are now the ones taught to us by God. So that the people of the world says, which job are you going to take? I'm going to take that. No, these guys are offering me maybe 5 million naira per annum. It's good, but the other guys are offering 5.5. What about the other guys are offering 5.650? Okay, no, let's go for the one that offering 5.9. Nobody thinks of any other thing. When you get there, what are you going to do? They don't know. They don't care. Oh, I'm going to be selling cigarettes. I'm going to be a cigarette marketer. Do you believe in smoking? No, it's just business. No Christian has any business selling cigarettes. Because I know enough about that one. It's like waking up in the morning and selling heroin that's legal. It's legal heroin. It's cocaine that has not been outlawed. It's like go to America now because they have now removed the ban of selling Igbo. You know, Americans now sell Igbo in many of the states. You now start dealing in drugs and bringing tithes and offerings. It makes money. Are you getting my point? Now, how were you led to take that job? It's called the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things that are in the world. But when love is leading you, when pouring a blessing is leading you, when exercising your gift, you know, it's a commandment. He said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If you read the American Standard. In life, therefore, if you have identified your gift, whatever you do, make sure you are able to exercise it accordingly. Never take a job that makes sure you can never exercise your gift accordingly. Can you see? We are now discussing work now with different mindsets. Every work you do should pay you money, most certainly. But even if it doesn't, if the only option is, you know, like I said, it is better to be busy making no money than to be idle making no money. Both of them is no money. But at least in one, you are doing what? You are exercising the gift. You wake up every morning, you have a place to go and exercise your gift. You are far better than the young woman who says they are not paying anything there. And therefore, he or she doesn't leave the home and is not exercising the gift. And it's actually still better than the person who's been paid everything and is still not exercising the gift. That is being led by the Spirit. Are you getting my point? That is what is pushing me. It's not the spirit of the age, but the spirit of God. The idea of being productive is the spirit of God. The idea of exercising my gift is the spirit of God. The idea of wanting to be a blessing to somebody is the spirit of God. It's not the spirit of this age. The spirit of this age is, how do I get? How do I get? How do I get? How do I grab? People make those days when bankers used to jump up and down, all right? Just hop left and right like frog. Remember? Okay, maybe many of you are young. Now hop, now you won't land anywhere. Now if you go up like this, by the time you are landing, nothing. Empty space, boozer, you're on the floor. But those days, guys just they jump anyhow. Jump from here to here. I said, but you just had this job last month. Said, no. Look, in life, you have to be sharp. The best way to move forward is just from here, you're an officer. From there, you're assistant manager. Then you move. They make you deputy manager. Then they move you. You become a manager. Then you become a senior manager. So the guy goes round and round in circles for a few years, and then now consider he's manager. Then one day, the whole bank collapses on him. I said it then. I didn't change my mind. People argued with me that I don't understand. You know what I was saying? I said, this is what the Bible, the opposite of what the Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Cultivate faithfulness. I said, you guys are cultivating unfaithfulness. You're undependable. You're unreliable. I hire you today. 2 months later, I mean, what are you? I said, well, you know, just give her money. She's on your side. You know what's the question? You don't know what I said? Okay. Sorry, I thought you spoke the common Nigerian language. It's called harlot. Yes, just money. Money. Just give her money. She has gone. I told them, look, I said, well, I don't understand what you guys are talking about. They said, no, that is a way to move forward. I said, but this is called unfaithfulness. I don't care what you are getting, it is unfaithfulness. I said, somebody should be able to depend on you. I have employed this set of people. Yes, I work yesterday, then you wake up tomorrow morning, you just, all of you have disappeared. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. The Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That is, practice it. Practice it. Faithfulness means sometimes life is going to be hard. Dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. Please, I'm going to say something, all right? And that's the fact that Christianity, I said, is a walk. This is how we walk as Christians. And being led by the Spirit is being led by the precepts of God. It doesn't mean by the Holy Spirit say, just woke up in the morning. Holy Spirit just said, banky, banky, you shall preach today. Then I'll turn and say, Holy Spirit, if I don't preach today, what was I supposed to do before? Listen, Holy Spirit has never, ever, once in my life told me, today is Saturday, go and preach in Kingdom World Ministries. Never. He needs to tell me, you don't have to go there today. Go and honor this invitation somewhere else. Because when it comes to preaching regularly at our meetings here on Saturdays, I don't need anybody to tell me that. It has become a principle of my life. Please, I hope you are getting my point. You know, I've really, really left this our Satan matter, but I think we're still talking about it. But I'll try and get back to it. So the point I'm making is this. It says that Isaiah chapter 8. He said, the summary of everything that God told me is this, don't walk in the way of these people. And I'm saying to us again, that the aim of the devil in our lives is to take us away from the way of God into the way of the world. When he came to Jesus and said, turn these stones to bread, there's a principle there. I've taught it here before. Every opportunity you have in life is to make money. That's what it means, turn these stones to bread. Every little thing, use it to make money. Every gift you have, use it to make money. It's called turn these stones to bread. What was he saying? You have the power. Use it for your own benefit. That's what he was saying. That's the principle of the world. Any power you have, use it for your own benefit. You monetize everything. You know, life can be tempting, though. You know what I'm saying? Yes. If as a preacher, I told you the story of one of my friends once, he went to go and preach in a particular program. By the time he was through, they shook his hand and said that it was such a powerful program. Such a powerful program. Such a powerful meeting. As he was going, the pastor was escorting him. Such a powerful program. Oh, God, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. And he boarded the vehicle that was conducting him away. All they got was, God bless you, sir. They waved the guy bye-bye. Meanwhile, Bros was hungry. He finished preaching. Rabbi Zakaria described how he preached for a whole week. By the time he finished, they said, oh, we forgot to take an offering for the man of God. What shall we do? I think we should mention it on Sunday. Yes, we'll mention it. All right, sir. Go. Bye-bye, sir. That's temptation. Preach for a week. This is the only job you do. They didn't give him one call. He said 15 years later, maybe they have not remembered to discuss it on Sunday because he hasn't heard from them since. That's why I wrote one part of the book. So who pay for this? I have to explain to people. Don't demand on the pastor to be nice. Just do your duties towards him. Now, why am I telling that story? The story, the people now react and say, we are turning our stones to what? Bread. That's actually why I talk about it. Because life can be tempting. So, there are preachers, before they go somewhere to preach, tell them how much money you are giving them. Don't look at a very wicked man. I agree what he's doing. I don't agree with it. But it's a reaction to experience. A lot of them. But it's still not the right thing to do. You are not allowed to turn these stones to bread. Or you mount the pulpit and decide that, well, I have finished teaching you the word of God. I must collect my offering by force. Who will say to God, today, I want to do something special that you will never forget me. And all of that. And you know the truth is that, you know, this I always illustrate it. Everybody, all right, let's do something. Can you put up your right hand, please, everybody? Put up your right hand. Put it up very high. Until it's almost cutting off. Put it off. Okay, please put it down. You didn't even ask me why. Did you ask why? If I say bring it down into your pocket, it will continue going there. You know that. Anything it touches, wrap your hand around it. Pull it out. Raise it up again. Slide your hand forward. Open the hand. As it falls down, it's a blessing. Ushers, go and collect it. You know you would look. You won't dare. Unless you're a real hired man. Or you are, you know, some people have been toughened. If you tell me, like, you tell me, and I wrap my hand around it, say, bring it out. I say, okay, my money. say, drop it. Pastor, please. This handshake is getting. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, why I use that illustration is this. Listen. I said, put up your right hand. When I said it, you did. You didn't question me. And I knew you wouldn't question me. It's what is called power. That's what's called authority. It may be subtle, but I actually have that amount of power over you. You don't realize it. It's subtle. I decided when you will come here. You don't realize that. You can't leave until I say leave. Why did God give me that power? It's simple. So I'll use that same power to infuse His Spirit into you. Nothing more than that. That power was given to me. It may appear subtle, but it's a lot of power. It's a lot of power. In case you don't know, you know this Boko Haram kind of thing you're hearing? When Americans want to fight the Boko Haram people, people like them, Al-Qaeda, they're not just looking for the fighters. They look for the imams. Because when that guy speaks, a young man straps a belt to himself. He knows he's going to die by the power of a man's words. So CIA said, listen, we don't just kill the boys. Where is the spirit coming from? They kill the imams also. Because that is where the spirit is coming from. No, that is warfare. That's what I'm talking about. These words have power. And God gave those kind. Listen, I'm not bragging and anything. I, talking to you, I have that kind of power. I do. It's not because I learned it. I was born and God poured it into me. But he said there is a purpose for it. Go and use it to turn the heart of men, the heart of women to righteousness. Let it be that when you finish speaking, when they see iniquity, they can't touch it. Let it be that when you finish speaking, when they see right, that's all they want to do. Let it be that they will not longer live for themselves, but for him that died and rose again on their behalf. Let it be that after they hear you speak, they will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and always increasing in their knowledge of God. He said, let it be. So sometimes, when I'm too hungry, I come down, I never chop, wife never chop, children never pay school fees, and I see the kind of car you park outside. Satan will come and say, oh boy, turn this stone to bread. And many preachers these days are turning stones to bread, turning iron rod to bread, leaf to bread, wood to bread. That's the truth. Turning it to bread. That's it. I don't want to make some of you who are not into ministry things feel bad. If you hear some things, you'll feel terrible. How was the meeting? Oh, it was powerful. How do I know? Look at the cars. That we went to do a meeting. We preachers, we'll report home to our colleagues. How was the meeting? It was powerful. How do we know? Did you check outside? Yes. That's the latest Ford Expedition. My God. Other one, that one. I've always wanted an MG. That's an MG. And this car keys, this house keys, is a new house. Somebody just sold into the ministry, you know, in Abuja. Amen. Oh, it was a powerful meeting. And then, you know, preachers, you go look, say, what in this guy they preach? We, me, are not they preach. And they start telling you, say, and of course, when you finish all of that, you go start your car. But sure. Say, okay, let me push on small. It will start to start. you go reach house. If your wife is now, if you married Job's wife, you're in trouble. You know Job's wife? Curse God and die. When you reach house, say, honey, leave me. You don't know, leave me. You don't touch your wife, you know, you touch your wife on, that like this on the shoulder will just go down. Ah. which means don't touch. You go marry Job's wife and you're a preacher like that, you leave your colleagues missed when they are praising God for the new Ford, the explorers, the expeditions, that, you know, and I say, please help me push on small. But shoot. No, don't worry, it's not a problem. Just push it a bit. Thank you, all right, guys. God bless you. We'll see you later. You reach out, you marry Job's wife, you are dead. these are real challenges people face. Next time you are going to preach, my wife is telling you, go and learn. You know, you have to pray for God to give you revelation. If you don't talk to your friends. For you know, I've seen preachers do it again and again. Message will change. This message today is so powerful. Oh, no, you have to connect with it. You have to connect with it. With all these powerful words, you know, you have to defeat the devil out of your life. You will say to God, they say, the amount of sacrifice you make, the amount of power you will have to defeat the devil. God knows. Listen, the message begins to move. According to God, the ministry starts moving. It's called turning stones to what? Bread. This is how it starts. That's all kinds of revelations. Of course, I know Satan very wicked. You do it one time. It's called bow to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms. You preach it one time, he gives you kingdom. Your last year's income, you make it in one service, Pastor. One service. That's it, you are hooked. And listen, if you have a friend who's a preacher, pray for him. What did I say? Your husband is a preacher. What did I say? Pray for him. Pray. It's called temptation. He said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Into temptation. That's what Jesus said. Look, these days, in fact, when we finish this series, I want to talk about the power of prayer in the church, in the nation. We need to talk about it. Don't just look at, leave those things to just slide by. You know, to help people with prayer, you have to help them. We have to help ourselves. This is very important. That's where Satan goes to hide. Turn these stones to bread. And many people today are turning their stones to bread. Many. This is how you know where you are turning your stones to bread. There's nothing you ever agree to do without checking how much you are going to get from it. you are turning your stones to bread. Every gift you have, it must be monetized first.